Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignment from yesterday, remember these projections, your ideas about how someone sees you. Remember these are projections, your ideas about how someone sees you. What do you see when you own these projections? Record and listen. And this is... Sorry, Sherry, I'm getting some text about something. Hang on a second. Okay, sorry. Apparently the queue is not working. So
No
one's able to get into the queue, but I can see the queue is working perfectly fine. So, well, remember these are projections, your ideas about how someone sees you. What do you see when you own these projections? Record and listen. And the projections were related to writing an in-depth description from the perspective of your father and mother about what they would say about you.
Mm-hmm.
So here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Carol in San Francisco.
Hello, Carol.
Hello.
Well, what are you seeing?
I wasn't seen particularly with my parents, but I did have a weekend gathering with family this weekend, and there was quite a bit of projecting going on there.
What perfect timing, huh?
It was, really. I dealt with a lot of judgments and projections, and I want to say I saw a lot, but I just think I was caught in it a lot. So difficult emotions of anger, resentment, hurt, defensiveness were coming up, and it was really hard to, I mean, they were coming so fast, it felt like a meteor storm, you know, I don't know if it was conditioning, you need to disidentify, and I'm like, so that was the process, being in the middle of it, hearing like judgment about how I'm not doing well and should be disidentifying, but still yeah. Reacting and having very difficult emotions, and you know, and then there was a point where it just went to I defended somebody that wasn't even in the room, and it got kind of ugly, I think, or it wasn't ugly, it was just vulnerable, let's put it that way. And then to be able to say, well, okay, that was uncomfortable, and I'm still okay, you know, I don't have to, the self-hate coming, wanting to come in, you know what I mean, all that,
mm-hmm.
just be like mm-hmm. practicing what we're learning here, which is like, it's okay, all of it's okay, accept it into the circle of compassion.
That's right, so. That's right, yes, yes, very good. And to see how really not helpful it is for a conditioned voice to be saying, you need to disidentify. Like, yes, I know I do. And if I could, I definitely would. And, of course, the fun part of that is realizing you were fairly disidentified because you were watching the process. Right? I mean, you mm-hmm. you knew how triggered you were getting. You were very aware of that. So there's probably a great deal more awareness there than conditioning would ever want you to know. And so there it is with this. You really need to disidentify. You should be disidentified. It's just piling on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not at all attempting to be helpful, but attempting to make sure that you see even less than you would be seeing otherwise.
Mm. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Distracting, yeah. Right? Because you were there in the situation. I mean, you knew. You're watching the judgments. You know what's going on with you, right? And then
mm-hmm.
the...
Mm-hmm.
You really need to disidentify, just in case, you know, you had a moment of clarity about how much awareness you were bringing to the situation. Ego was going to try to make sure that didn't happen.
Wow. it's really good to hear that I didn't get mixed up and think that was really the mentor saying that, because it really didn't feel like it.
No, the mentor is never going to give us that kind of information. Never.
Right. And then I think on Friday or yesterday, somebody, Sherry or you said that you can actually have love and judgment at the same time. And it's the first time I saw that, oh, wait, I'm not necessarily being judgmental, nor is that person that's looking at me with these really horrible looks. It's that there is something going on that they're identified with, too, and that I'm identified with, but it isn't our authentic person, you know?
That's right. That's right. Isn't that astonishing to see?
Mm-hmm.
It really, to step back in that way, you realize that stuff that was going on, that didn't have anything to do with me.
Mm.
And if conditioning can't pull us in and make us believe it, which is the you should disidentify, if it can't make us identify with what's going on, then it's much more like, it's like watching somebody else. It's like watching that other person. And you can see how that other person is there and they're participating. You can see they look like they're kind of present, and then they get triggered. And they just become this other thing.
Mm.
And we can watch that with ourselves as well. We can watch the takeover and get clearer and clearer and clearer that as much as that voice wants us to think that we're thinking that, saying that, doing that, being that, we're actually not.
Huh. This is something I wish I had heard before the weekend, but it's okay. It can still be processing.
That's right. Do you have another family event anytime soon? Well, the holidays
actually,
are coming up.
Not in 1 month, the same group wants to get together again.
Wow.
Like at Thanksgiving, so it's going to be an opportunity. I'm not going to dread it. I want to see what these unexamined assumptions are that are getting me over and over, you know. I want to see
Yes. And, Carol, to go into it with that perspective that you have now, that these are not evil, hateful, horrible people. These are actually just like us, like every human being. And periodically, like us, they get taken over by a hateful ego or a nasty or a frightened or a whatever it is. They get taken over by that and act up it. We all do. And so patience and compassion and kindness for all of us.
That's wonderful. I'm so glad to hear that. That really solidifies it and gives me the focus for when we get to do this again.
Yeah, I'm so eager to hear how it goes.
Awesome. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Carol.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Carol. You know, what was dropping in for me is the way that Carol phrased that in every moment there can be judgment and love. And what struck me about that, right, Sherry, is that when we are truly aware, as you were pointing out to Carol, that there's plenty of awareness in the moment, then that awareness is a composite of everything that's going on and includes the process of ego as much as any other life process that happens to be there in the moment. What's different is whether our confusion that we are the judgment is there or not. That's when we're truly disidentified, right? It doesn't mean that we're not aware, but if we're purely identified with awareness, then we can actually see ego and know that we're not that.
Yes.
I never seen it like that. It was wonderful to hear that clarification that arose when you and Carol were talking. Sherry?
Hi there,
Sherry.
As you probably noticed, and by the silence that followed what you said, I got bumped off the call. So I think where I lost consciousness was you were saying that when we are actually in awareness, then there is, we're able to see it all in that way that we were just talking about with Carol, that it's to see what's going on with me and whatever identification there is there, whatever judgment and the ego trying to take over or taking over, as well as being aware of that with everyone else. Is that kind of where you were?
Okay. Well, just, yes, just that it's so important for us to get that awareness is not necessarily the complete absence of ego. If the process of ego happens to be operating in the moment, that when attention is on awareness, awareness can register an ego process of judgment, an ego process of self-hate, and authenticity in the moment. And they're all there. And the mastery is to not let ego take that moment of awareness to be for itself by saying that that's not a moment of awareness because ego happens to be a participant in it.
Yes. In fact, that is the most powerful place we can be. Right?
Yes.
That's when we really have a chance to observe how the whole thing operates.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Let's hear from someone else. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sari. Hi, Swinny. This is Danielle from Chicago.
Hey, Danielle.
Hey, Danielle.
I'm so glad to be chosen today.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Danielle, there you are.
All right. Someone called me. So, can you hear me now?
Yes. You sound good.
Can you hear me now? Hello?
Wow. Now someone's calling me, Danielle. What in the heck is going on? Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
So this has been very interesting for me. Yesterday my mom actually found my recorder and she kind of asked me what it was, and my mom knows that I meditate, but she doesn't necessarily know the whole thing. and we kind of got
the gory details.
Yeah, and we kind of got into it a little bit, and she doesn't necessarily agree, but I think what I saw throughout this entire thing was that my ego is it's not helping me with my relationship with her in this process of, like,
Danielle,
helping.
Danielle, yeah. we can expand that insight. It's
mm-hmm.
not helping you anywhere with anything.
Right.
Yeah. But in this situation with your mom, you were able, it sounds, to see clearly how not helpful it is.
Yeah, and I think that it keeps me trapped on many different sides. It wants me to hide it from her and be really scared, and then it wants me to be really, explain it to her, but, like, kind of, like, in a way, in telling her that what she thinks is wrong, and so
mm-hmm.
it's that
aggressive
duality.
And defensive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm seeing that.
Good.
My mentor is trying to kind of help me, and ego kind of gets in the way with all of these projections about the situation, kind of.
Yes. And what you're describing is a pretty darn good picture of awareness practice. Because you're seeing how all of that goes. You're hearing those voices in your head and how they want to create a reality for you, who your mother is, who you are, how you need to be, how she is, all of that, what this means, what you can say, what you can't say, what's dangerous. I mean, it's got all that that it wants to talk to you about all the time. You're seeing that. You're seeing how, from a place of clarity, of mentoring, you're able to stay more present and be able to view egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate for what it is. And it sounds like you're having a clearer picture, without those voices, of your mother.
Yeah. Yeah, and recognizing that, you know, she truly cares, and yeah, she cares, even if, you know, whatever it is that she says, and whatever it is that I say.
And she's just as messed up as the rest of us.
Right. So,
And you know, Danielle, that is a funny thing to say, I suppose. But, you know, it's also true, isn't it? I mean, when we can look at one another and go, you know, we're all fairly messed up a lot of the time, and we're really good people, and we're trying to be the most loving, caring people that we can possibly be against a lot of rough stuff.
Yeah. Yes.
We can cut one another, as the saying used to go, a lot more slack.
Yeah, and I think I really want to keep that with me throughout, you know, my relationship with her, because that's exactly it. And the more present I can be, I think the better of a relationship that we can have, even if we might disagree on some things, you know.
And you will.
Yeah.
And you will. And you can be, and you can be really interested in one another.
Right.
You know, the fact that you're mother and daughter, that just means you're mother and daughter, right? And so if we let go of all of the shoulds and the beliefs and the assumptions, you're just two people.
Mm.
And you have an opportunity to know and love one another as two people. You don't have to agree on everything. You wouldn't have to agree on anything to love one another.
Yeah. Wow, that's really big. That's very helpful. Because I think you're right. At least I have definitely these assumptions about how a mother and daughter should be. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it's not that way in my life, you know.
So there's something wrong with you, or there's something wrong with her. And the truth of the matter is, all of that business about if you care about each other, you have to agree. What a waste. What a waste. Because what we really have is an opportunity to be interested in another human being and get as close as we can get to how somebody else works.
Mm.
You know, how they see things, how they feel. What happened to them? Where do they, you know? Without that, it's like my favorite color is blue, and I want everything in the world to be blue.
Yeah.
Really? Not when we stop and think about it that way. Yeah.
I feel like that's so huge, and I feel like our political climate needs that.
Oh, my.
That insight, you know?
Yes. We have seven and a half billion perspectives on this planet that we could take advantage of. We could avail ourselves of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we're stuck in this right, wrong, have to agree, disagree, there's something wrong with you, there's something wrong with me, judgment. You know, that's what makes this plane of existence such an opportunity to suffer.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes the value in that, and like there could be something so amazing about that, and there is, of course, but it takes that and turns it on its head and makes it the worst thing, you know?
Yes, exactly. Well,
yeah.
Well, I'm very happy for you and for your mother. As a mother, I'm happy for a daughter who has a willingness to be compassionate toward a less than perfect mother. And I'll be eager to hear how you two move along through life.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
So much.
Okay, take good care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye, Danielle. I saw so much in that conversation, Cherry, that it's interesting when we get to that place in our lives where we can acknowledge that we're all messed up in the same way. In other words, what messes us up is the same thing. As soon as we get that, it's not personal, right? And that's compassion, that we're all messed up by the same thing. And that process that you articulated, which is we realize the dynamics of all of that conditioning that says if you love each other, this is how it must be. If you care for each other, it must be this way. This is right. This is wrong. That conditioning is what messes us up. And then we get to that place which you were pointing to where love and agreement have nothing to do with each other. That love is an independent process of actually acknowledging differences and celebrating them and thinking of that as interesting rather than moving into that conditioned place of separation when differences are registered.
What I saw when you said that is I wish we could all get together. If we were going to have a political movement, I wish we would all get together and identify if and this has to be in quotes because there's no such thing, but the enemy is egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, not each other. Wouldn't that be great?
If we could
just all realize the common enemy is the negative voice in our head. And we all share it, and we all suffer from it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that would be the only common ground that we could arrive at, other than we're all love, right?
Yes.
Or love is all of us.
Yeah. Then we would all get together in love. And because we're loving, compassionate, kind people, if ego decided to change its evil ways and stop trying to torture in order to be the center of attention all the time, we could embrace ego.
All right. Here we go. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jan in Fremont. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini.
Hey, Jan.
Hi, Jan.
Hi. Well,
it's
under
the weather, Jan, right?
Yeah, getting better for sure.
Okay, all right, good.
I'm working on it.
All right.
Thank you. The family, I'm just sort of blown away at all that's coming up in this last week, maybe 2 weeks, of all the things we've looked at from childhood, parents, and all. And the thing, I mean, a lot of it's been confounding, and that's when I know it's really good. You know, there's a lot of looking to do, like, why is that confusing? What is it in this? So I've seen a lot, but the thing that's been the most interesting to me and maybe that I want to look at the most is that when I had to say negative things about my parents, how difficult, not difficult to do, that I really couldn't see many negative things. I mean, there definitely were some, but by far the positive things way outweighed that. And so I wasn't sure if it was conditioning coming in to say, well, no, really, let's be real about this. You know, there are other things. Or is this true? And is it just my perspective at this point in life that, you know, this is the way it is? Yeah.
Well, Jan, if we look at it, if we just bring it into an average, now people like us, okay, that we have to be clear about that. Not everybody's having the same life experience that we're having, okay? We're not. And yet people in the most difficult circumstances in any given day, there is far more good than bad. far more, if we, you know, this is not a good way to say it, but it's what I'm seeing, far more positive than negative. Now, one of the ways that we talk about that, so you've just been sick, and people, ego likes, and self-hate likes to go into a big rant about being sick. And so we often talk about, well, let's look at all the things just in the body that aren't sick. All the things that are working beautifully right now. You know, there's just these four things that are having a struggle and these billions of things that aren't. They're working really well, perfectly, in fact. And so that perspective, to me, is the one that is valid. And and what happens with ego, with conditioning, is all the time it's angling for the one thing that isn't working, the one thing that's wrong,
yes,
the one thing I don't like. That's where the attention is constantly going. That's where the conversation is. So through, I would bet, I can't know this, but I would bet the trajectory of your life is also of your practice. So when you were younger, before you had practice, you could have looked at your parents through the eyes of ego conditioning, and it would just be an endless list of things that were wrong with them, ways they'd let you down, mistakes that they had made, stupid things they said, how they led you astray, all of that. Then with practice, you move out of that ego identification with everything, and suddenly your life is changing. You no longer look at life in that way. And so that's not a lens that you're looking at your parents through either.
Yeah. Well, that was my sense of it, but it was just so amazing to watch. I don't know, conditioning, whatever was coming and going, gosh, you don't want to be in denial about this.
Oh, God forbid you should be in denial about negativity. Yeah,
I know. Oh. And what's so great about it is if I've overcome anything in my life, it's that focus, that looking at what's wrong versus the wonders of in every moment. So, well, thank you for helping clarify. And one other thing that it just happened I just found out my aunt, my mother's sister, who's just turned 95.
Wow.
I know the family. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to be around a long time if I'm inherited all this. But anyway. They had a gathering for her birthday. I called her on her birthday, and the family had gotten together, and I hadn't been invited. And I was, I sort of thought, I didn't quite get it at first. I thought, oh, there's something I don't know. And then, and so anyway, that I've been sitting with that for the last couple of days, and I've always been really close with her, and I just didn't get it. And so I did a two-headed recording, and this, I'm only bringing this up because of the family. I mean, I just feel like it all ties into the whole family view.
Yeah.
And what I tried to express was just that hurt, just getting it out. And what the mentor said is, you're feeling that for sure, and there's nothing wrong. And that just stopped me. That just stopped me. And it feels like what we're talking about in all this is, yes, this happened and this happened. And there's nothing wrong. I don't know. It just, I've just been sitting with that all morning.
I bet. And does it feel like something you will follow up with?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean with that.
Well,
yeah, tell me what you
somebody
mean.
Arranged the gathering.
Oh, following up. Well, then what did occur to me is to call my cousin, who I've talked to recently, because she was there when I called my aunt. And so I talked to her, but it didn't occur to me that this whole thing had happened. I sort of found out after. And so I called her to catch up. And so I thought, I'll call her and say, is there something I did? Is there something I should know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just seemed that I don't want to let it sit. I don't want to let
it
fester. That's what I
That's
mean.
Right.
I don't want it to
That's
fester.
Exactly right.
And yet I don't want conditioning to make that call. So I need to be very clear.
Yes.
If I make the call, what it's about.
Yes. 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 Very good.
So if that's what you mean, that's the follow-up.
That's what
that
I mean.
Seems,
yes. Yes, because it's finding that balance between, well, it's kind of the learning to turn our attention away. So you feel hurt, you can bring your attention back to center and not feel that. That's not what practice actually is. So you get to all that's going on with you, you get to a place of clarity, you get to center, and you have the conversation. Because otherwise, that's a place that conditioning is going to slide in a little wedge between you and your cousin, with you and your aunt, with whatever it is, and it's going to try to put a little splinter in there and start the festering process. And we just don't want to do that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for helping clarify that, because conditioning was when it dropped in to make the call, I just looked at that. But then now conditioning's been coming in and messing with it.
Yeah.
Of what
it
means and what it doesn't mean.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Take care of yourself.
I am. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Working on it. Thank you, Sherry. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jen. Sherry, that brings us to the end of the show, but it was such a process point that you were making, which is something arises, we want to process it, because if we just ignore that it's arising and get to center, there's a way in which it can be used against us, because that is a place of what is unacceptable that hasn't been brought into conscious, compassionate awareness. And the process of practice is really actively bringing everything that is not in conscious awareness into conscious awareness so that we can be with it all.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Nothing left out. Yeah.
Nothing left out. All right. So here's our assignment for today. The most important thing my father ever told me was, dot, 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 record and listen.
Good one. All right.
Interesting.
Well, thank you. Yeah, interesting. Thank you. Thank you, Ashwini. And
thank you, Sherry.
Everybody, take good care. Treasure
and yourself. We'll talk to everyone soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.